You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for All-Star Season 8, Episode 5, titled Snatch Game of Love. My name is Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by one, maybe two, uproarious co-hosts, first from the podcast, Bravo, Bravo, effing Bravo, please say...
the sexiest jackass in town.
To Mr. Nathan Patrick Brown.
Yo, the muse is back. Hi, Joe.
Oh, that was right in time to the music, too. Yes, the muse is back in a harness and a scarf as well, a la James Mansfield. All right, and from Bloody Podcast, please say...
Christian woman!
To Lorian K. Roggenkamp. Hello, Lorian, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
Everyone should know, Lori is coming to us as Nathan said, like she's in the Blair Witch Project. She's using her phone because I don't even know why. Why are you using your phone, Lori?
I haven't gotten to my apartment yet, so I need to wait till I get to my apartment.
I gotta be honest with you, it sounds like shit.
You know what? Fine. Then I quit the show, okay?
Oh.
So... I'm just gonna go. All right. Fine. I'll see you guys later.
Well, Lori, I'm gonna tell you something, Lori. Oh, well, I guess. All right. What? Bye. Killer bit.
Killer bit.
The best bit. Killer bit. Because Lori didn't even let us get into the bit. Yeah, now she's gone. Lori didn't even let us get into the bit, which I thought was gonna be like Nathan tells me. I'm gonna do the bit again when she gets on.
Oh yeah. Yeah, okay.
I'm going to tell she still sounds like shit. And I'm going to say, Nathan told me that if your sound didn't improve, we were just going to call in Jay Ellis. Anyway, whilst Lori...
So does that make me Alexis Michelle?
Yeah. Well, we start crying. This week, the girls get their best celebrity drag on for the Snatch Game of Love. During a heated Elimination Day conversation, Heidi in Closet quits the competition. On the runway, the category is Reveal Yourself. Jimbo is named the top all-star of the week for the second week running. Meanwhile, this week's lip-sync assassin is season 14's Jasmine Kennedy. After a lip-sync battle for their legacies, Jasmine wipes the floor with Jimbo, but sends no one home after Heidi's elimination. Ladies, who one just left, which, by the way, I want everyone to know, makes a lot more work for me. Because now I'm going to get two different tracks that I now have to put together. It's a whole thing. All right, ladies, two questions. How was the lip sync, and did the right person go home? Nathan Brown, what did you think of that lip sync, and did the right person go home?
Well, I think the lip sync would have been a lot better if we stopped letting Jimbo win. Like, you know, this show's rigged. I don't understand how they can not just rig it to have someone better up against Jasmine, because I was so excited to see Jasmine again, which I didn't expect. But I thought she did a great job. But then-
Were you really?
Yes, surprisingly so. I was really excited and happy to see her back. And I thought she did a great job. I just wish she wasn't up against, like, that newborn deer that doesn't know how to walk, Jimbo. Stop letting her win. I mean, what did you think of the lip sync then?
Look, let's just give- it that Jimbo's a terrible lip syncer. In fact,
dreadful.
Arguably one of the worst lip syncers in the history of the show. What I mean is there probably been our worst, but for someone who is so talented in every other area, like the worst lip syncer of a very talented queen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Lori's coming back. Lori,
hello.
I was talking to this Nathan, and he said that your sound, he told me that your sound was so bad that if he ever had the chance, he would have asked Jay Ellis to be the guest co-host.
When did I?
You made the wrong
choice.
When did
I say that?
I don't have anyone else to turn to. Oh, I know who to turn to. I know who to turn to. AI Robert Mata.
Hey, simpletons. Yeah, I heard Nathan say that.
You heard Nathan say that. Nathan.
Well,
Robert says he heard you say that.
Even if that was the case, isn't this a sisterhood? So I don't know why Robert's ratting me out.
Okay, never mind. Nathan didn't say that.
Wait, so which one is it? Did Nathan say it or did Nathan not say it?
Can we light some sage in here?
This is a great bit.
By the way, Lori, the entire time, Lori has not been contributing to the bit. Acclaimed groundling Lori Rockingham was eating the banana and drinking a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yep. I have to conserve after that masterful bit.
Yeah.
I had to conserve my energy.
Yeah. Well, you're back.
I mean, it's just as funny as the Snatch Game.
Oh, so, I'm gonna be honest with you, funnier than the Snatch Game. Anyway, Lori, what we're talking about right now is what we thought of the lip sync and did the right person go home. So let me go back to the lip sync. What I was saying was, like, okay, let's just say Jimbo, for being as talented as he is the worst lip syncer for how talented he is. I don't like this Jasmine Kennedy. She bugs the shit out of me.
Mm.
She wins because anybody lip syncing could win against Jimbo, right? A, I don't think anyone told Jasmine she doesn't really win anything the way she was acting.
Yeah.
And then part two, she realizes that, yeah, she did win, but she won against Jimbo. Who's stoked on that? That's like me saying I won a race against Terry Schiavo. By the way, who's made a Terry Schiavo joke in 20 years?
Yeah. How you should do an AI of Terry Schiavo. Oh,
I know. Terry Schiavo was the one that told me that Nathan.
It's just going to be beep, beep.
For those of you who are younger than 40, Terry Schiavo was this woman who, I don't remember how, but she effectively died. And they were keeping her alive just with machines. She wasn't even alive. She was just, there was a heartbeat and that's about it.
She was brain dead.
She was brain dead. But the family or the husband didn't want to take her off, or what was it again?
The husband wanted to take her off, but her family
said
that they didn't want to. Yeah,
that's right. Her immediate family didn't want to take her off, but the husband was like, we got to let this woman, because she'd been out for years and years and years, right?
Yeah.
It'd been a really long time.
And then there was like a thing where they were claiming that he like, like a quick thing where they were claiming that he may have murdered her,
yes,
or was trying to get her off, because I think it had gone on for so long that he had since dated or married somebody else, and so they were like, oh, he doesn't care about her, and he's moved on, and he doesn't give a shit, so he just wants to pull the plug.
Really long time, like I want to say 20 years. It was something crazy, like a really long time. And then there was a huge court case, and I think he eventually won, right, and got the right to let her die.
I don't remember.
Or did she just die? She might have just died.
I think she may have just died. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very strange. So it was a huge political battle. And so that's why, that's my that's the United States version of a dingo eating a baby.
Ah, understood.
Oh, so 1990 was when Michael Schiavo, her husband, was appointed the guardian. But, that's where I remember. There was no living will. So they were fighting over what her end of life wishes were, and the family wanted her to have a feeding tube. That's right. I remember that. We had a debate about this in high school.
Oh, you did? Did you play Terry Schiavo?
Yes. I laid on the floor.
I remember I was, I didn't go to this high school, but when I was tutoring at this high school, they were putting on a production of The Elephant Man, but the kid that they cast as The Elephant Man, I was like, oh, that's interesting. They're like, oh, yeah, it's not going to use any makeup.
Oh.
That's kind of insulting.
Yeah. That's weird. Was it you? Were you that kid?
Yeah, I was the kid. But I said, oh, this is about the ugly guy that in England. I said, no.
Suck it.
Yeah.
Suck it, England.
Yeah. They were like, no, it's about a guy who's the size of an elephant. Well, really quickly, I just wanted to say that, Nathan, you never told me whether the right person went home.
Oh, yes. So I think the right person did go home. I think Heidi didn't want to be there. I don't think it was to do with that fight that was in the workroom later. Like, in Housewives Land, we say it's never about what it's about. And it was just because I think she wasn't getting the praise that she was expecting, and she was over it. And so she saw an opportunity, she took it, she went home, and you know what? Great. It's probably better for her, it's better for the show, it's better for me as a viewer. So yeah, I think that was the right call.
You know what too? She probably saw that Jimbo, the writing was on the wall that she was not in the lead. You know, that it was Jimbo. Uh-huh. And you're right, because this happened after Elimination Day, and so she didn't perform that well. Jimbo is clearly on track to win a third time, and she's like, well, what the fuck? Why am I going to... Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Lori, what about you? What did you think of the lip sync? Did the right person go home?
I completely agree with everything you guys said. I think that exactly was the case. I think she wasn't thinking correctly, because, you know, unlike every other season, there's the, you know, the queens who are eliminated are in that other side competition. Now, does she still get to be in the side competition?
She does not.
So she chopped her, you know, she shot her foot to, she chopped off her nose to spite her face. I think, what were you originally going to say?
Go, what were you going to originally say about the chopping off the foot?
She chopped off her foot.
She chopped off her foot to spite her face. And I was like, what?
She chopped off her foot to spite her face. No, I think that she saw the writing on the wall. This is the second Snatch Game where a befuddlement has been what saves her. You know, she wasn't doing very well. She's not, you know, pulling it out in the way that she thought she was going to. And there are clear people that are ahead of her, and she knew that this was probably going to be the end. Like, if she hadn't gone home, I can't imagine who else would have gone home. Jessica Wilde, I don't feel like should have been in the bottom. Yeah. So,
All right. Well, after Darian's elimination, the girls read the vote tally and learn that the vote against Darian was unanimous. Meanwhile, Alexis thinks that Jimbo's success could put Jimbo in danger of elimination. I'm stopping here because we're going to have a long reading thing right here. So I just want to stop here and check in. Did you have any thoughts on what happened after Darian's elimination, Lori?
I did think it was kind of funny that, you know, when they said the one vote for, what's her face?
James.
And then when they said the one vote for James, and then everyone was like, oh, that's weird. And it's like, what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Kahana said, that was probably from Darian. It's like, okay, you're still figuring it out, aren't you, sweetie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought was so funny, is then they even have to explain it further of like, well, James did vote for her three times in a row. And it was like, no, she didn't vote for herself. Like, what? Like, you guys think she would have voted for, like, that was so, I thought that was so crazy that they were like, that's who would vote for James other than that reason?
Yeah. I will say what is funny is, I brought this up in the last episode, I still don't know why Darian voted for James. Alexis literally threw her under the fucking bus on the main stage, and she voted for James. What is James doing? But I don't know. I didn't watch Untucked. Maybe it was settled and Untucked. So
I think it's more of a numbers game. Like, she's more likely to stay if a few other people vote for James. So it's like, why do one protest vote against Alexis if you could stay hoping that people vote for James?
Nathan, did you have any big thoughts about the opening act here with after Darian's elimination?
Not a lot happened, but they do make comment that, like, Jimbo should be careful being such a front runner. And I do agree. Like, I do think, like, as soon as Jimbo's in the bottom, someone like Alexis will probably try and get rid of her. So, yeah, make and keep those alliances.
Have they had anybody eliminate a front runner? I mean, before, like, maybe the closest Manila, but Manila wasn't even really winning that season.
I think Manila was a front runner.
Apart from that, has anyone ever eliminated a front runner?
I think it also happened one other time.
But, like, also, I feel like that kind of stuff is, like, you know, like, do you really want to just be middle of the road?
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like you want to try and do your best every... They keep saying, like, oh, be careful. You know, you're going to get a target on your back as soon as you're in the bottom. And it's like, I would rather try my best and fail and then, you know, just kind of do middle... Because, God forbid, I get in the bottom and then somebody eliminates me.
Well, the problem is all these... this season in particular, these girls live in a fucking bubble. Like, a bubble like you wouldn't ever believe. Almost like one of those bubbles that's on the sky temple in the temple for the Zora on Legend of Zelda. Bubbles, that's what they live in. Mm-hmm. And I'll be making Tears of the Kingdom jokes all episode, by the way. And so they live in one of these bubbles where, like, they think the competition is real. They think it's based on merit. They think that that it's really about the competition and really about winning. Like, it's a really strange, strange world that they live in where they strategize, and they don't realize that none of it matters. None of it matters, especially this season. And I have a whole speech about this later. The producers are just doing whatever the fuck they want. It's like they live in like a little ant farm, and the producers are just making them go where they want them to go. But yet they think there's the illusion of choice. Okay. So the girls think that they have choice. They think that they have independence and power and all that. And that's not true. You know,
it's like in Tears of the Kingdom. It's like, you think you could just go to the castle straight away, and you can technically do that. But then as soon as you go there, you'll die because you're not strong enough. So it's like an illusion.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, it's one of these things too. It's like when you go to Lurelin Village and they have the treasure store, whatever it's called. Uh-huh. And you have the choice of which treasure chest you're going to open. It's an illusion of choice. The guy's controlling it the whole time. He can just say whatever.
Now I understand.
Yeah, thank you. So, all right, well, let's move on.
It's like when you go to the Sorting Hat
in
Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because there's no choice involved, technically. Like, I know, like, the Sorting Hat takes
Harry
your opinions into... was a loophole.
It's like when Lori goes to Jamba Juice and she says, I'm going to get, you know, one of these healthy drinks. But then when she leaves, she lands up having the 800-pound gorilla.
Yes.
She gave the illusion of choice, but it's really, that's what it was.
Yes.
You know, did you see Lori on Discord? People were posting the nutrition. I don't know why it came up again. They reposted the nutritional facts for people who listen to the public feed. Lori, to lose weight, gets something at Jamba Juice called the 800-pound.
It was a healthier option.
Than what?
I guess it was a healthier option than just like a bowl of salt.
Than lard.
Yeah.
Yeah, lard and salt. Then bacon fat drizzled
this
into my mouth. This 800
pound gorilla has, I think, like 97 grams of sugar or something crazy like that.
Yeah, but it's not 100 grams of sugar.
True.
So,
good point.
That's what makes it a healthier option.
The next day, the girls enter the workroom and flirt with each other before RuPaul announces this week's maxi challenge. It's the Snatch Game of Love. The girls will perform their best celebrity impressions on a dating game style game show. In the workroom, the girls reveal their different celebrity choices. Meanwhile, Alexis, by the way, it's like the girls went to a YouTube video that said, what kind of Snatch Game character to do? And then they all went, nah, I'm good. And chose, like, the wrong ones, right? Anyway, meanwhile, Alexis feels confident that she and Jimbo did well since both of them won the Snatch Game in their respective seasons. Later, RuPaul entered the workroom to check on each queen's progress. Heidi shares she will play the game as Blackbeard the Pirate. So, proof that she quit before... even she really quit. Kahana talked about her choice to portray her drag mother, Coco Montrese. Meanwhile, Jimbo can't wait to show off her skills in front of RuPaul for the first time. Let's start with our very own Nathan in a harness here. Nathan, what were your thoughts on everything that happened in the workroom and the table visits, you know, the next day with this and that? What were your thoughts?
I just love how every season they announce Snatch Game and... everyone's pretty much ready to go for Snatch Game. It's a wig and an outfit. And so they're just ready and they're just killing time, just like teasing the wig while they're having conversations. And then like Lala's giving Jimbo a piggyback and they're cleaning someone's titty bib. They're just killing time until Rue comes down. And I just don't understand why Rue can't just do the table visits straight away.
Yeah, they should just immediately go into the table visits. Lori, what do you think?
Yes.
Yeah, I completely agree. I thought it was so weird that they were having it. Honestly, it was like, I felt like Drew had to go to the bathroom. And so they were just vamping until she could come back. Because it was just so ridiculous. And, you know, I also would say I was shocked by how many of the girls were not there, didn't get to do a Snatch Game in their show. So I was like, oh, this is all stars. And
well, yeah. So listen, you're making a point that I have written down here. So I'm just going to jump in right now. We have to really look at this. This is a show called All Stars, meaning, okay, you didn't win, but you were the best, right? I'm going to say straight away. So for people who just to set up what I'm going to talk about. The Snatch Game in a regular season is one of those benchmark episodes. It's the benchmark episode, I will say. That's why the girls get so excited, because if you make it to Snatch Game, it's basically, it's almost like a little mini win. It's like you've made it. It's almost like Tears of the Kingdom. When you like the Master Sword, it's not, you didn't win the whole game, but like that's a major milestone to get the Master Sword. And the Snatch Game is like getting the Master Sword. It is a benchmark, a milestone that you've made it in the competition. You may not win, but you are a quality contestant. You're not a filler queen. And the fact that we have two or three queens who didn't make it far enough in the show, maybe more, because I have James, Kahana, Lala did not make it to the Snatch Game, right?
And Jimbo once.
Jimbo once. Lori, raising your hand, yes?
So is this Tears thing, is that the new Zelda game? Is that the one you're referring to? The whole, okay, I just wanted to make sure I knew what we were talking about. Okay.
Lori, take off your headphones for a second. what a nerd Lori is. She doesn't know that we're talking about the coolest game ever, Tears.
What a noob.
Yeah, we can't be her friend anymore. All right. All right, Lori, you can put your headphones back on.
All right, I did take them off.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, oh, so what I was going to say is, I'll be honest with you, if you're an All-Stars and you didn't make it to Snatch Game in your original, see, Jimbo made it in his original season, the original season, you didn't make it to Snatch Game, you're not really an All-Star. Maybe I'm being a little snotty or whatever. But if All-Star really is, like if you take it from baseball or basketball, these are the cream of the crop playing against each other. Mm-hmm. You're not an All-Star. If you didn't make it the fucking Snatch Game, which happens like a little before halfway sometimes, right? You're not really an All-Star. And so that's showing you the quality of this cast.
I feel like it's the difference between like making it to the semifinals and not even getting picked in the first round. You know, like it's like if you make it to the Snatch Game, I think you made it to the semifinal. You know, that's kind of how I view it. But if you haven't, it's like, you know, you haven't even really gotten out of the first round.
Well, it's kind of like you play Zelda and you're trying to talk to me and Nathan, and yet you haven't even played one of the Sky Temples.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I'm just talking competition in general. I'm trying to talk about
it's
kind of
like if you go all the way through the Groundlings, all the way the beginning, the writing lab, everything like that, but you don't make it to Sunday Company, because everyone should know in Groundlings there's Main Company, but before you make it to Main Company there's Sunday Company. It's like you go through the whole program, you wait years and you make it, and then but you don't make it to Sunday Company. It's kind of like that, Lori.
And then they also say, could you not tell people that you were even in the Groundlings, like took classes.
Wait, that didn't really happen, did it?
And you're like, why? And they're like, well, because, you know, we just feel like you did such a bad job in your final show that we would prefer to not be associated with you in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
No, it didn't really happen, but I feel like they didn't say it with words, but they said it with attitude, you know.
It's kind of like you do this Spotify Latinx thing. And they say, you won. And they go, you win. We're going to produce your show, right? And then you're like, okay. Yeah. And then almost a year later, you've never heard from them again. And they don't respond to your emails. And they're like, who dis? And you're like, you are a major media corporation. Why would you have a brand new phone number and say who dis and actually be a person? So.
Yeah.
By the way, I couldn't figure out for the longest time James Mansfield reminds me of somebody. I can't remember who it is. And then today it hit me. He's like a young John Lovitz.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
Yeah. He's like a young John Lovitz. That's the sort of way he talks. By the way, and I said this earlier, What are these character choices? Like,
oh, dreadful.
Okay, Jimbo's doing it right. You know, I have that here on the outline. Let's actually go through it right now. So, Heidi did Blackbeard the Pirate. Lori, because, you know, everyone should know Lori is an icon of the LA stand-up stand-up sketch and improv scene.
If you're just starting to listen now, I'm an icon. I've been everywhere.
And is strangely drinking from the same thing they give what you like wonton soup in. Yeah.
We're out of large water bottles. Jesus. So I had to put my water in this.
How are you out?
Yeah, how are you out?
We have some in the washer sink. We haven't washed them.
Can you wash a bottle?
I didn't have time.
What is this?
By the way, Lori, are you like in a production of the Bad News Bears, the musical or something like that?
Yes.
You're dressed like the kid that they kicked off the team, but then right in the second act comes back and learns that she's an amazing pitcher.
It was giving me like a superhero in disguise.
Yeah, except for it's exactly that, but instead of any of that, it's just me going to Chipotle and eating.
By the way, I love that during the table visit, Kahana says that she thinks she can win the snatch game.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, anyway. So let's go back to these table visits here. They discuss the characters they're going to do. Okay, so Heidi's going to be Blackbeard the Pirate.
Why it got to be Blackbeard?
Yeah, that's a good point. Oh, do you think that's why she chose it?
No.
I think she thought that she could have fun with, like, props. But I don't think she... Here's the thing, and this is a fault. This is a through line throughout all of it, is that I think with most of them, there is just not a lot of preparation.
You know what? This is a good... Why don't we just get into the snatch game? But before we do that, why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we're going to actually talk about the snatch game in detail. We'll be back right after this.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right. Spring is here. And with spring comes more social events. Now, for a lot of people, that's very exciting because they've been sad because they've been so alone during the winter. This is super exciting. But for a lot of people, I'm somewhere in the middle, this can be very draining, okay? You have to go to a bunch of social events. And it for me, at least, it always seems like when it rains, it pours. So there'll be a weekend where I'm doing nothing. And then there's a weekend where I have to do 10 million things and be in 4 million places all at once. And it's very draining. Have to entertain people and talk to people and be on all the time. Completely drains your social battery. Believe it or not, therapy can give you, and this is what I've learned, some self-awareness about how to set boundaries, how to say yes to things, how to say no to things, and how to keep your mental health safe. I have personally learned how to do this through therapy. It's been very helpful for me. It's how I keep my sanity, even when it seems like there are too many things to go to. If you've been thinking of starting therapy, do me a favor. Give BetterHelp a try. It's totally online. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to park anywhere. You do it in the comfort of your own home. And it's designed, it's even created to be convenient, flexible, and totally suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragrace.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
are back. It's time for the Snatch Game of Love. For round one, the girls will compete for the affection of Matt Rogers. Heidi bombs as Blackbeard the Pirate. Jessica bombs as Edie Chacon. Kahana bombs as Coco Montrese. Meanwhile, James Mansfield as Jennifer Coolidge wins the affection of Matt Rogers. Let's stop right there, and then we'll go to round two. Let's talk about round group one, and we'll start with Lloyd Rockingcamp, and we'll volley back and forth to use the parlance of the show. And so, Heidi, Blackbeard the Pirate, Laura, you said Heidi just wanted to use props. Nathan, what did you think about Heidi as Blackbeard the Pirate?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I thought she was relying on a crutch, which was pirate puns, and I don't think anyone but Ross Matthews would find that funny at this point. So, I didn't like it.
Laurie?
Yeah, I don't think there was any preparation. I think she thought she would go in with some puns and some prop work. And when that didn't happen, she turned into every bad improver, which is they turn on their fellow, improv people that they're working with, and they start making fun of them, thinking that if they get the audience on their side by, making fun of them, then that'll help. But it just, to me, I felt like it made it worse because, A, she wasn't really saying anything that was too funny.
Mm-hmm.
And B, it was just, you could tell that it was visibly upsetting Coco Montrese. So it just, it made it, whatever her name is.
No, you're right. You're right. Go ahead. Uh-huh. I mean, Kahana was portraying Coco Montrese.
Oh, so I was right. Okay, good. Well, that was just an accident. So I think it just was not, it was not good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I am shocked to hear though that you are not of the opinion that, which I have, and I don't know what Nathan's opinion is, but I mean, this is the fucking Snatch Game when Connor was bad. But we'll talk about that when we get to that. We'll tell him when we get to that. Let's talk about Jessica Wilde as Edie Chacon. What were your thoughts here, Nathan Patrick Brown?
I didn't know who this Edie Chacon was, but strangely, I thought she was the best one. She at least made me laugh in that deranged way where it's like, I know you're not doing the character, you're just trying to be funny, but I still laughed more than I did for the other three.
I laughed, but I do feel like she was one note, but I mean, that was everyone. I mean, James Mansfield was one note with the freaking what's-her-face. So, I mean, it's like, you're not going to Jennifer Coolidge. I don't think any of them really sort of had any kind of depth or anything or thought out of one or two bits. So yeah, I thought he was going to pick her, to be honest with you, at the end, but then he picked Jennifer Coolidge.
All right. My opinion, Blackbeard the Pirate, horrible. Edie Chacon, horrible. I don't know who this person is. That doesn't mean anything. I didn't know who it was. So I couldn't relate. And so whatever. All right. Next we have Kahana Montrese as Coco Montrese. Lori, what did you think of Coco as Coco Montrese?
Coco, I thought she did exactly what I would do when she just seemed very nervous. And I thought that she, she tried to pick a character that was like angry and upset. And I thought that they said it right in the judging. When you pick a character that's angry and upset, it's hard to move out of that space and have fun with it. Cause it when you're angry, everything's a no. Everything's like you shut down. Everything's, and it's hard to improv and be, and volley and stuff when you're in that space. Now, don't get me wrong. If Heidi in Closet was somebody else and, she could have volleyed maybe a little bit better, but I feel like Heidi came at her a little harsher than she should have. And I feel like Kahana wasn't receptive and wasn't able to volley back. And so it really just was this very awkward exchange between the two of them. And it made Heidi look bad and it made Kahana look bad. And I felt like it made Kahana even more nervous. So I felt bad for her because I felt like she you could tell she was really trying, but she just didn't have the comedic chops or the ability to get herself out of this situation.
Nathan, what do you think?
I think she made a mistake doing Coco in just that one scene where Coco yells at Alyssa. There's like a lot more to Coco that she could have broadened her scope. Like I would have loved if she just had like a picture frame that she silent danced with like Coco did in All Stars. You know, like, just bring a... Like, she knows who Coco is. She's done the show with Coco. Like, that's her drag mum. Bring me something else to it rather than just, I'm not joking, bitch.
Well, she mentioned in the table visit, she goes, oh, well, I did Coco for Halloween 1 year, and it was a huge hit, and I just got to bring the energy. Which... But I bet you, at Dollars to Donuts, when she did Coco, she probably was Coco's birthday or Halloween or I don't know what it was. And she just did a number as Coco, which is a different thing than actually pretending to be Coco and being funny in this context. Where she just had to look like... But that's the thing with Kahana. Kahana is shallow in the most shallow way possible. In that what I mean is, you know, a shallow person is all about skin... You know, beauty is skin deep kind of shit, right? And it's all about the surface. Everything, even she even made like a plastic surgery joke as Coco Montrese. Everything is about fucking plastic surgery and beauty and looks. And the reason I bring that up is it even pervades her choosing the Snatch Game in that she thought, well, I'm going to do a really visual joke of Coco being orange. And that she even said it on the table visit. I think if I'm just Lou, I'm going to win the whole thing. Win the whole thing. Like, her goal should have been just to be fucking safe in the thing, right? And
yeah.
She goes, I'm going to win the whole thing. I want to know. I want to have a conversation with Kahana Montrese and say, please tell me your plan for winning. What was your plan for winning the whole thing as Coco Montrese? Because she went in with zero plans. She had no. Did she think she was going to say, "I'm not joking, bitch," and that RuPaul was going to stop the Snatch Game right there and say, "You know what? You're the top all star of the week. This is it. It is done. You said, I'm not joking, bitch, and now you win." So, because it's all about the surface. It's about looking. It's like, this is how it looks.
I agree. I think that she. Well, I think she doesn't understand what makes something funny. I think she doesn't understand comedy.
No.
And I think, you know, and but I will say this, that, you know, we do see later on that RuPaul will just laugh at words and celebrity names if they're put together in a certain way.
I mean, look, let's talk about this right here. I think RuPaul was working her fuck. You could see she was working her ass off on this episode. A lot of fake laughter. Lot of edited laughs in later in post that they show her laughing, but I don't think it was really her laughing at that. And she was trying to sell certain people in the fake laughs. It was not good. I would if someone said she was really pissed off that day, I would believe it. She did not, even with Jimbo dancing, she did not seem to be having fun. And every laugh seemed very forced and very, very fake. Let's talk about James Mansfield as Jennifer Coolidge. I don't even know where we left off, so we'll start with Nathan. Nathan, what were your thoughts here on James Mansfield as Jennifer Coolidge?
I thought she was terrible. I thought the racist on Drag Race Down Under did a better job. Like, I just think it was an odd choice to pick Jennifer Coolidge from 2003 instead of, like, 2023, and it just sounded like James being James. I got no Jennifer.
Laura, you were on Drag Race Down Under?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
Makes me want a hot dog real bad.
Yeah. By the way, my debate is how long before Lori mentioned name drops that she knows Jennifer Coolidge.
We're friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually watched it with her on the car ride home.
Hi.
I picked her up.
Hi, Lori.
She said, hi. Thank you so much for picking me up.
Yeah. Anyway, Lori, what did you think of James Mansfield as your best friend, Jennifer Coolidge?
You know, to be honest with you, what I thought was, I feel like Kahana Montrese could have done.
No, you were right the first time.
I feel like Kahana Montrese could have done Jennifer Coolidge and it would have been passable. Like, I feel like it's hard to fail doing Jennifer Coolidge. Like, her voice and just her affectation is very humorous, right? There's a reason why she's an icon. And I think that James just kind of struck gold with the fact that, you know, you had one person who was funny, but maybe not understandable, and it didn't really make sense. And then you had two people who were not funny and were kind of sucking the energy out of everything. So James literally, there was like a couple years ago where there was like a a queen who won Snatch Game because she did like Lil Jon or something, and she pretended like she was like,
yeah, that was a really bad year. That was a bad season.
She pretended like she was like the queen of comedy, and it was like, no, it was just because everyone else sucked so hard that you just were like a little bit of better than everyone else.
Deja Sky, so, I believe, is who you're talking about.
Deja, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she thought she was like the queen of Snatch Game because, oh my gosh, she was like, yes. Well, you know what, Lori, you're right. You kind of have my notes. As I was like, James Mansfield, I actually thought it was awful. I think it's difficult to pull off Jennifer Coolidge. I don't think I've seen anyone do it. It reminds me of this new trend that I'm seeing gay guys do on TikTok, and they're acting like they invented it. It's really weird because they don't acknowledge it. There's one guy in particular, and he's actually, Solandra follows him, and I would not be surprised if Solandra's friends with him, but he essentially does like a really shitty Moira Rose from Schitt's Creek. But
oh yeah, that's annoying.
And a lot of gays do that, but they pretend like, but they don't ever say, like, I could see if they did the video like Moira Rose at a Blockbuster video, but they're not. They're doing the characterization that Catherine O'Hara does, but just they pretending like they came up with it. It's very strange. And it's the same thing here, is that like, I think James Mansfield has been doing Jennifer Coolidge her whole, I think that's the whole basis for her. Like, James Mansfield was just doing James Mansfield. I did not get a sense that James Mansfield was playing a character. I thought that James Mansfield was playing James Mansfield.
Yeah, it was just like her voice, her affectation was like, I thought she did a passable job with her affectation for Jennifer Coolidge. But yeah, it wasn't, there wasn't anything too great, like that I thought, oh, that, you know, that's spot on Jennifer Coolidge.
But the, well, because the tricky thing with Jennifer Coolidge, I do think you do need some sort of at least advanced training in improv or something like that, is what's great about Jennifer Coolidge is she has that great improv brain where the things she says are absurd. They're not, they don't really follow a path. Like, for instance, recently at an award show, someone asked her like what role she would want to play or something, and she said a dolphin. And and Nathan, you haven't seen this?
She'd be great at that.
Oh yeah. No, so like,
and I just took a sip of water, so I did a bit of a spit take.
Yeah, so like that's
my impression of Jennifer Coolidge being a dolphin.
Yeah.
And she's like, these whales, they're trying to murder me.
Yeah. It makes me want to real bad. Anyway, the point is that
I'm taking the krill, dumbass.
The point is that that James did not James. What James was really doing was James Mansfield doing a shitty Marilyn Monroe. They were more like things Marilyn Monroe would say. It was very odd. I almost wonder if he was gonna do Marilyn Monroe, but then used it for that stupid bit, and then decided to just make a left and do Jennifer Coolidge because he could just wear his regular clothes. Because it was not a, I don't know, it was not a good Jennifer Coolidge. Didn't say things Jennifer Coolidge. That's what makes it tough to do Jennifer Coolidge, is that she doesn't really, she takes a left when you think she's going to go right, and that's what makes her an icon. All right, let's move on. But like what Lori was saying is she is the Deja Sky of this round. She was awful, but she was the least awful in this round. All right, let's go on to round two now. So for round two, the girls are trying to win the heart of SNL star Bowen Yang. Alexis does well as Bea Arthur. Candy portrays Rene Graziano. And Lala Ree is Sukiana? I don't know. Meanwhile, Jimbo slays the competition and wins the affection of Bowen Yang. Nathan, oh no, sorry, Lori, let's start with you. We'll start with the Bea Arthur. Alexis Michelle's Bea Arthur. Your thoughts here.
So I had no opinion of Alexis Michelle going into All Stars, and I know Star had hated her. She can't stand
Star's
her.
Star's your fiance.
And I, yeah, Star's my fiance. And I don't know if I have like folly ado or something, but I just like all of a sudden just like, especially this episode was like, I can't stand her.
Mm-hmm.
And her, attitude towards James Mansfield is how I felt about her portraying Bea Arthur. She didn't sound like Bea Arthur. She didn't say anything remotely funny or sarcastic or anything. All she did was mention other celebrities and say words in some random order. And for some reason, RuPaul died every single time she said something. And I did not get it. I did not understand how
again,
she was funny.
You're falling for the illusion. RuPaul was... It was very evident that she, maybe after round one, was like, this is a mess. I need to try and save this. So she was like, specifically Kahana and Lala, which we'll talk about in a second. The laughs on there seemed extra fake. Like, she knew, I have to make it a scene like they're worthy of being safe. Because I have to. Because, and B. Arthur, make it seem like she was good. Because the B. Arthur, I wouldn't call it bad, but it wasn't good. Thank you. Nathan, what did you think of B. Arthur?
Besides the outfit, which I do think would be something that B. Arthur would wear, there was nothing about her portrayal that was B. Arthur.
Nathan?
Yeah, I think she made an interesting choice by doing B. Arthur the person rather than just Dorothy called B. Arthur. You know, like, I think she was actually trying to differentiate between the Golden Girls character and the person, which could have been really good or it could have been a bit shit. I've actually been working on my Dorothy impersonation, if you guys
want to hear. Oh, sure. Well, of course I want to hear. Yeah,
definitely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've noticed that, like, in every three episodes, she'll say, "Oh, Ma, I love ya." Just, like, in a conversation with Sophia. Every three episodes, she'll say that line. So, that's my impression.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we actually do a scene from the Golden Girls. Lori, you're going to play... Who do you want to play, Lori? Obviously, Nathan's going to be B. Arthur. So, he's Dorothy. Who do you want to be?
I could be Rose.
Oh, you'll be Rose. And who do you want me to be? I'll let you choose who I am.
You could be Sophia.
I'll be Sophia? All right, here we go. So, we're going to open the scene here.
What is?
Picture it. I just came from the toilet. I dropped a mean deuce. Oh man, does my asshole hurt?
Oh ma.
You dropped a set of cards in the toilet?
She did a shit, Rose.
It reminds me of Bobby Graziano in 1911. Picture it. I'm sitting on the toilet. I get up. There's a piece of shit in the toilet. Bobby Graziano comes in. He goes, Sophia, you made such a delicious cannoli. Let me eat it right now. And he ate the fucking piece of shit right out of the toilet. You know what that's like, Rose, right?
Oh, yeah. In St. Olaf, we had to eat tons of shit. Because of Franz Gugelfarner, the shit farmer, he would always have extra shit at the end of his crop season, and in order to save the town of St. Olaf, the kids would have to gather up and eat shit.
It must have been great, Rose, when they realized, then they just stuffed it in your head and used it for brains. You know, when Dorothy was a little baby, she took a shit that was so big, I thought it was Dorothy, the baby, and I flushed the baby down the toilet, and I took the shit out into the streets, and people were like, "Oh my god, your baby Dorothy has never looked more beautiful." Do you remember this, Dorothy?
Ma, no.
Look, I'm gonna say this, yeah. It was better than the Snatch Game, all right?
I need to kill it.
Which is a low bar,
yeah.
I feel like we went a little too poo heavy. But you know what? I'm heavy in poo, so I get it. I will say this, though. Nathan loved your Dorothy impression.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Thank you.
You know, what? Real great. It was so great.
Yeah. All right. What did you think of Candy Muse as, I don't know, somebody Italian from some Italian show? No, I didn't know who this was. You know who this was, Nathan?
She was Candy. She was Candy.
I didn't
know. She was Candy Muse. You're right.
I will say, I think if I know... And this was also an issue I had with Alexis Michelle with Dorothy. If I think I know who Candy is supposed to be, the woman has more of a very gravelly voice, even more gravelly than Candy.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with Alexis Michelle. Dorothy has a very like gravelly voice. They did nothing to modify their voices.
Yeah.
And I wish that Candy would have tried to make hers a little more gravelly, but I mean, she was just candy the whole time. She was just candy.
Yeah. What about Lala Ri as somebody? I don't know who that was. Nathan, who was that person from
Sukiyana from Love and Hip Hop Miami?
You know who this is?
I don't know her. But I mean, she was fine. What's there to say?
She really, she lucked out that she was in this group.
Yeah.
If she hadn't been in this group, she wouldn't have been safe.
Oh, really? You think she would have? Lala Ri? I think she would have. Yes. She was better than the other group, don't you think? I think James Mansfield lucked out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she did very well, to be honest with you. I think that.
But did you see Rue forcing those laughs for Candy and Lala, like as if they were saying the funniest shit ever?
I think that she legitimately, see, she did this, one of the smartest things is that I think she saw that she wasn't necessarily getting laughs when she was talking. So she didn't really jump in and do too much. And I think that saved her. I think that made people go like, oh yeah, Lala was good, mm-hmm. I guess.
And then finally, Jimbo as Shirley Temple. Let's start with you, Lori.
You know, it was good. It just wasn't great. Like, I felt like it was what's her face from All Stars last time, mm-hmm. right? Who was the one who played? I can't remember anybody's name.
Joe, don't help her. Don't help
her. I'm not. You know, I don't know if you can see, Nathan. I'm just like, I know exactly who she's talking about, what character she's talking about, and everything. And I am just staring at her.
Liza Minnelli's mom. What's her name? She did her.
Shelley Minnelli.
Bellen Minnelli. Yeah.
She did Coco Montreat. No.
Beverly Hills.
She did, Star.
Judy Garland.
Thank you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I know, but you don't know what you're saying.
Who was the drag queen?
Jinx Monsoon.
Jinx Monsoon. Thank you.
Oh my god.
You're as bad as RuPaul.
Jinx Monsoon. And then what was the other Natasha Leone?
Oh, wait, you know what? Take the headphones off. Let Star do the show.
Natasha Leone.
Yeah. I'm not good with names. So Jinx Monsoon was phenomenal. Right? She did so well. And I feel like Jimbo was trying to do that. Jimbo was trying to be like a Judy Garland, you know, with when she took that moment when she had the microphone and stuff. I felt like she tried to do that with the tap dancing. And it was funny. And it could have just been maybe the downer of the, you know, everyone else not necessarily being 100%. Or I don't know what, but it didn't really make me like it was the best of the whole group, but it wasn't to me that great, if that makes sense. Like, I kind of felt like, oh, okay. I guess, you know.
Nathan?
I guess she's doing okay.
I think it was a good choice that skated by on just being high energy and like a couple of smart angles, like calling Bowen a pervert, like instead of just relying on one thing. It was just, it was a bit too Timmy Trumpet-esque for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I don't even know what the Timmy Trumpet part means, but what I'll tell you is I agree with you guys. I think, you know, I think there was I'm going to say this up front. Jimbo doing that tap dancing bit, I don't think I've belly laughed at RuPaul's Drag Race in a very long time. And I really gave a genuine, by myself, really hard laugh. It was so ridiculous and so absurd and so bizarre. I'm even laughing thinking about it. But when you, and it was the last thing that she did, so you ended on a really good high note. But, you know, I watch it a second time for notes, and when I watched it a second time, I was like, it's really not that funny. And in fact, she left a lot of low-hanging fruit out there. Like, they lobbed some softballs at her that she could have totally hit out of the park, and she didn't. She just let him die, you know? And so, I don't think it was passable. It was passable, but in a very weak group, it was very, very strong, I guess, for that. But it was, apart from that.
Well, Joe, yeah. she had never done the character before. She'd never even worn that dress before. So we've got to give her credit for just coming up with this on the spot.
Nathan has his camera off because his internet is shit. And so I can't tell if he's being sarcastic or not.
Well, no, but that's what she said in the table visits. And it's like, clearly you're lying to our face, Jimbo.
All right. It's elimination day and the girls get ready for the runway. Kahana feels betrayed by her sister Heidi after Heidi made jokes at her expense during the snatch game. She confronts Heidi and Heidi apologizes. During the apology, Candy Mew steps in and confronts Heidi as well. Candy had heard that Heidi had whispered to Jimbo that Candy had planned to vote for Jimbo when the situation arose. This would go against the alliance they all had. When confronted, Heidi asks Alexis to back her up, but Alexis waffles under the pressure. An emotional Heidi then quits the show. Alexis then breaks down in tears. Now, I do have here, because it was so, it's even confusing when you listen live and I try to make it a sense. I still don't really totally understand what happened, but I actually have it here and we're going to analyze it right now. So I only have the relevant moment. I took out any confessionals. It still comes in at 3.5 minutes. We'll stop at every 30 seconds. And analyze it a little bit here. All right, here we go. We're going to play the first 30 seconds.
How you doing, Kahana?
Back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, I was already, like, feeling kind of defeated before I went in.
I feel you.
But what really, like, sent me was you.
Me?
Yes, because you really were pushing me. Seeing that I was struggling and, like, throwing the jokes back at me. Like, giving me the map and literally, like, antagonizing me, it just was not cute, Heidi.
Okay, let's stop there for a second. Lori, now this is where I think Lori and I really disagree. I don't know what Nathan's opinion is. Is so what has happened here is during the snatch game, because you know, a lot of people have told me this is why if you watch the episode, you're going, why is Joe telling us this? We all know this. There are a number of people, quite a number of people who told me they're not watching the season, but they're listening to the show. So let me explain to those people what happened. During the snatch game, and Lori alluded to this, Kahana was flailing and as Coco Montrese, and Heidi as Blackbeard the Pirate was taking any shot she could to sort of like tease Kahana that she wasn't being very funny. I happen to think this has just always been a part of Snatch Game. It's a, this is as important in Snatch Game to be able to do this and volley with that as it is to do the characters. But Lori, you seem to have a different opinion. But before we get that, let's hear Nathan's opinion. Nathan, what do you think? What side are you on here?
I'm Team Heidi on this one in that it's not a team sport. I don't know if Heidi was intentionally trying to give her something to volley with. I think Heidi was just trying to be funny herself and wasn't really succeeding. But Heidi was going to care about Heidi in Snatch Game. And it's not her job to look after what Kahana's presenting. And I think Kahana maybe needs to harden the fuck up if you're going to be on All Stars in a Snatch Game, you know, grow some balls.
Lori, because you differ with me and Nathan.
Yeah, I mean, I see that. You know, I think that that's fine. I just feel like, I don't know. I think that Kahana clearly, when you're volleying or when you're doing that, I feel like you should do that with somebody who seems like they are able to do it back at you, you know? And I feel like Kahana is just clearly not that kind of person. She just has no comedic bone in her body, you know? And I think what happened was is that Heidi was drowning. Heidi and Kahana were drowning, and Heidi said, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to step on you to leverage myself up so that way I can, you know, I can get above water. And, you know, I don't think that it helped the way that she did. I think it made Heidi seem more vicious. Like when she threw the map at her and said, you know, find where the joke is, like that, you could tell Kahana was struggling. And it's just like, when that happens, that's not funny. That's just kind of bitchy, you know, like to volley with somebody, it still has to be funny, you know? And so it wasn't humorous when she was doing it. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that, ribbing somebody is, you know, a part of Snatch Game.
Yeah,
but it has to be done in a certain way, and it wasn't done in the correct way.
All right, let's carry on here.
I did not mean for that to be what was happening. I don't want you to feel like I was trying to push you down. I was hoping that you would like be able to volley and like hit the joke and
girl,
be like,
I wasn't even hitting the joke that Rue was giving me. So why are you digging the hole even deeper for me? It really, really hurt. I'm not even gonna sit here in front with you. I was really devastated.
I want you to be real. And I appreciate that you're being real with me. I'm so sorry that that is how it came off. I do apologize. I never want my sisters to feel like I'm trying to like make them feel less than or make them push them down in any sort of way, girl.
I'm gonna stop right there because that's pretty much where Candy's gonna jump in. So just to put a button on this is one, I should have mentioned at the top. So before what happens before this scene happens is Kahana's upset about this and she goes over to Candy privately. During just before this conversation happens and tells her how she feels. And you know, again, on a second viewing, once I knew what happened, I thought that's very interesting that Kahana went to Candy and confided in her about what she was feeling. And the reason I find that interesting, what you guys are going to hear in a bit, is Candy like accusing Heidi of something. We're going to hear about it. It's like that's the part that gets confusing. And Candy like feigning shock that Heidi would find Candy distrustful or would think that she would stab her in the back. And I'm thinking like, well, it seems like it's pretty well known that Jimbo, Heidi, and Candy are really tight. So why would, if this is the case, why would Kahana go to Candy unless, and think that she had a sensitive ear unless she knew that Candy would be sensitive to her plight of talking shit about Heidi? Which means that these conversations have been happening, because why would Coco Montrese in any other circumstance feel comfortable?
I see what you're saying.
You know,
yeah.
Like, look, everybody. Like, if I was good friends with Lori, they would never come to me to talk horrible things about Lori. But they know how I feel about Lori, so they have no problem coming to me and saying like, "Wow, she really like she ate my lunch." And I had no food to eat. She stole my
800-pound
gorilla. She stole my 800-pound gorilla. I was relying on that for my 97 grams of carbs that I needed that day.
I did.
Yeah. Nathan, what did you have any thoughts on this whole thing between Kahana and Coco before we can move on?
No, but... Well, I guess yes. I didn't appreciate how Heidi was like, I'm a little upset that she's telling me she's upset with my actions. And I just, you know, I hate when we get caught in that hamster wheel where you're upset at someone for saying they're upset with you. And it's just like, cut that shit out.
Well, why not just say, bitch, this is fucking Snatch Game. James says it in a confessional. No one says it there.
Yes.
And I'm just like, are you brand new? This would have been a perfect time for producer Alexis Michelle to be like, Kahana, have you seen the show? Lori, what do you think? Have any more thoughts on this Kahana Coco drama? I'm sorry, this Kahana Heidi drama?
Well, I think that it was definitely produced. I think that it was definitely somebody was like, you guys should all tell Heidi in closet how you feel.
With the knowledge that she and might quit?
I don't think so. I think they just wanted to have like a, you know, because to be fair, Heidi's not doing herself any favors. Like, what was it, last episode? She kept going like, oh, you guys, I know some tea. I think it's, you know. And it's so, it's just like she wants the attention, but she just wants it her way. And I think when it comes, you know, when she doesn't like confrontation. So when she's confronted, it's just like she just gets super upset.
All right, let's carry on here. This is the point where like Candy decides to jump in.
You know that's not me. That's not what I'm doing.
Since we're talking about family and stuff, Heidi, why did I hear that you went to Jimbo and told her that I'm coming for her?
So we're going to stop it in every little here. So because it does get really confusing. So Kahana says, why am I hearing that you went to Jimbo and said I was coming for her? Okay, so let me pre-tell the story here, because it's going to get a little confusing. According to Kahana, Jimbo went to, and guys, correct me if you guys figure this out. Jimbo went to Candy Muse and said, listen, Heidi just came to me and said that she heard that you said you were going to vote for me because you see me as competition. Okay, and so now... Candy is confronting Heidi, but why did Heidi say that to Jimbo? Because it's not true. This is what you're hearing, right? Lori, did you want to say it before we go on?
Yeah.
I thought, didn't Jimbo say that, like, they when the cameras came off, when they were, like, done taping, Heidi, like, whispers in Jimbo's ear, like, be careful, Candy's coming for you. Yeah,
and tells that to Candy News.
And it was, like, it was so, like, so it was just, like, oh, that's really ominous. Like, it's just, you know.
Yeah, so here we go.
That was kind of stupid.
Because you did, Alexis.
So now at this point, Heidi is now bringing in Alexis, because Alexis Michelle, we find out, is the one that told Heidi that she had a Alexis had a conversation with Candy, where Candy said she, well, this is where it gets vague because Alexis waffles here, but something along the lines that Candy saw Jimbo as a threat and would vote her out. Nathan, you want to weigh in?
I think what they're saying is Alexis was just present for that conversation, okay. Not that it was told to Alexis.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, I think Heidi heard it, but then Alexis was also there.
Oh, did you get that impression, Nathan, that Heidi was there?
Yes.
Okay.
What I think is Candy just said, wow, Jimbo's winning a lot, or something like that. And Heidi took that, or like assumed an implication as in, let's take down that threat. And Alexis Michelle was in the vicinity.
All right, here we go.
Oh.
Alexis was present when Candy was saying she would send Jimbo home.
Girl.
Tell the truth, shame the devil.
So right here at this moment, Alexis nods, meekishly.
Did Candy say to you that?
I nodded because Candy said that to me.
I said, I'm gunning for her.
So then Alexis freezes again. Alexis freezes again.
No.
So then.
Okay, Lori, I want you to know. You hate Alexis Michelle. I know where you are. I feel like you're at Alexis Michelle 101 and I was there. But I have now grown to be completely head over heels in love with Alexis Michelle in terms of a very Lori kind of way of what an agent of chaos she is. And I think it's unwitting, and I just think she doesn't know it. She literally, people didn't see this, she nods yes that Candy said this, and then Candy goes, wait, I told you this? And she goes, no.
I told you. Well, no. Like,
yeah.
Well, now that I've had time to think about it, yeah, in the 5.5 seconds that you called me out.
Yeah, that a literal 800-pound gorilla is staring at me with her 97 grams of carbs.
But, okay, I will say one thing. Okay, so Jimbo won last episode, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't it Candy in the last episode, or maybe in the beginning of this episode, who kept saying, like, oh, be careful, Jimbo, because now you got your, everybody's looking at
you. She says it at the top of the show this episode, yeah.
Yeah. So she did say it. She did say that if you're in the bottom, people are going to want to vote you off.
But Heidi is saying that. Heidi is saying that Candy said that Candy would vote her off when she had the opportunity.
I don't know. I think Handy heard that.
Yeah, Handy heard that.
I think Handy heard that. And was like, you know, oh, okay. So she wants to vote off Jambo.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Jambo. So she wants to vote off Jambone.
Yeah.
What is it? What she said was, as soon as Jimbo lands on the bottom, I'm going to send her ass home.
I didn't hear.
Okay. That's what Heidi says she heard. Now, Alexa's going to say she didn't hear that.
That's a little
specific.
It's
all a moot point, though, because when's Candy going to be in the top and Jimbo in the bottom? Like, in this trajectory, it's not going to happen.
Hear that. Yeah, I mean, I did not hear Candy say that.
I said.
Okay, let's stop right there. What were you going to say, Lori?
I just think that's so. First off, this whole thing is stupid, all right? Because, again, there's one winner. So everyone here is eventually going to vote somebody off that doesn't want to go home. There's only one person that's going to win. So this whole thing is so stupid because it's like, yeah, so what? Play the game. Who cares?
All right, let's carry. Nathan, you want to add anything here?
Well, my problem with this whole fight is Heidi's doing the Lisa Rinna thing where she's bringing up shit off camera, which should really be brought up on camera. Heidi should have pulled Jimbo aside in front of a TV camera so we could see it. Like, none of this, like, cameras are down and let's have a chat thing. Nah, put them on ice. I want to see it. So I'm on Team Candy for this one.
All right, very good. Move on.
She is competition.
Not true, Candy.
Why would you go behind my back and throw me under the bus?
But I did not throw you under the bus.
That's what Jimbo said.
I didn't say she threw you under the bus. You let me know that I need to watch out for Candy because she said she was coming for you. And I said, okay.
Even if that was the case, ain't we supposed to be sisters? Where's the loyalty?
Well, she was being loyal to me.
All right, let's stop right there. So this is where it gets confusing. And then Jimbo says, you know, Heidi told me this because, you know, that blah, 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 blah. And then Candy says, so Candy essentially confesses and says,
yeah, she
even
does.
If that was the case. But then here's where I get confused. Even if that was the case, aren't we supposed to be sisters? What does that mean?
No, I don't think she confessed. I think. This is my opinion, but I think what she meant was, even if Heidi told you that, mm-hmm. aren't we supposed to be sisters? So aren't you supposed to trust me that I wouldn't actually have said that? So even if Heidi had said that to you.
Mm-hmm.
But Heidi did say that.
I know. But that's, I think she was trying to say, like, basically the whole, her whole point is why, because it seemed like Jimbo was coming to the defense of Handy, and so she was like, even if she's like, we're supposed to be sisters, mm-hmm. like we're supposed to be super close,
yeah,
so right. Why would you trust Handy over me?
All right, here we go.
We just chalk this up to we are all fierce competition.
But the thing is, this is a democracy where we are voting. And if Jimbo, for whatever reason, landed in the top and I had landed in the bottom, she would have believed all that shit and would have sent my ass home.
So what Candy is saying is the danger of what Heidi was doing was by doing this whisper campaign, Jimbo would have believed Heidi. And if Jimbo had a chance, would have eliminated Candy and Candy wouldn't have ever known what was happening. Is that how you interpreted that?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I get where she's coming from, but at the same time, it's like, I feel like Jimbo's voting, in my opinion, I feel like she's voting off track record. So, you know.
All right, here we go.
It's wild to me.
Can you light a candle, yeah, please? Yeah, burn some fucking sage.
We might need a
Let's
few.
Let's burn some wigs. Fuck the candles. Jimbo, what I told you, that's what I had heard. And that's all there was to it. Let's just have fun tonight. And when it comes down to voting, vote Heidi.
I will say it was Team Heidi through most of this, but then this seemed very manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, this seemed like she just, I think she saw the writing on the wall that she was going to be in the bottom. And she knew that she was going to have to, like, you know, that people were probably going to vote for her. And instead of, she just said, oh, you know what, I'll make a big push and I'll say, I'm doing this as a favor to everyone. You know.
Let's just wrap up this episode of this thing.
No, Heidi. No.
Absolutely not.
It's because I do not like what this has become, because this has become really ugly and really hideous, and I don't like that. So have fun or I'm leaving now. I don't, honestly, no. We don't have to vote tonight. I love y'all.
No.
No, Heidi.
No, Heidi.
I can't do this. No. I can't do this. I love y'all.
No.
I love y'all so much.
No. What the fuck?
And with that, Heidi left the show. Now, there is a scene, I didn't put it in here, of Heidi like, oh my God, goodbye, blah, 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 blah. And then they come back in, and then God, she's just serving so many iconic moments. Alexis breaks down in tears in a way that's very, like, I don't know how, is bringing it back to herself. She doesn't expressly say bring it back to me, but it's very theater drama queen bringing it back to herself and sobbing over this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For some unknown. Yeah. And it was just, I don't know why, but I just love the fact that Heidi's like half in makeup in a shawl, like in a, you know, a muumuu. And she just a very, like, Joan calls, like, I'm going to go. And just like leaves with not packing up anything, just leaves. Walks out the door barefoot, you know, like, just
the way you left your aunt's house.
All right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, now it's time for the looks. The category is reveal yourself. Now, as we know, I don't even know why we would ever discuss the looks. And here's what's even crazier, and I want to discuss this. Me, the EP of the show, the host of the show, I'm like, I hate talking about the looks. And for some reason, I surrounded myself with people who want to do nothing but talk about the looks. Nathan, go ahead.
Well, we don't have to get into it too much, but I do have a theory about the looks this week.
Oh, yeah?
I think the runway category being reveal, because Alexis's reveal, she's done that before. That makes the rounds on, like, Reddit and YouTube all the time, and everyone's like, oh, my God, such a good reveal. I think they set up this episode for Alexis to win with the Snatch Game and this reveal, but then she just didn't deliver in Snatch Game. So that's my little mini theory.
Okay.
Other than that, I liked the category and I thought most of the reveals were really good, except for Lala Ree's, because she was just holding a blanket and then dropped the blanket. So that was disappointing, but I enjoyed it.
Lori?
Yeah, I didn't care about anybody's except for Jimbo. I thought Jimbo's was good. Really.
Yeah.
But everyone else's, I was just like, oh, okay, great. Yeah.
All right. On the main stage, Candy and Lala are safe. James, Jimbo, and Alexis are in the top, while Jessica Wild and Kahana Montrese are in the bottom. Later, Jimbo's named the top all-star of the week and must go up against lip-sync assassin Jasmine Kennedy. The song Hallucinate by Dua Lipa. In the end, Jasmine Kennedy won the lip-sync, but as a result of Heidi's self-elimination, there is no elimination this week. And later in Untucked, we learn that the cast had voted unanimously to send home Kahana Montrese. Kahana lives to see another day. Ladies, any final thoughts on the episode? Let's start with our very special guest, Lori and Kay Roggenkamp. Any thoughts, any final thoughts here?
This was a kind of a downer episode, I felt like. I felt the Snatch Game wasn't as fun as I had hoped. But I am glad that they didn't send anyone else home. And to be honest, I felt like Heidi was the person that they were going to send home, because I think if they were going to send Kahana home, they would have still gone through with the elimination. I think. I firmly believe that.
Wait, what did you just say?
I think if the producers and RuPaul were going to send Kahana home this episode, if they were like, we're going to send her home, even though Heidi had left, I feel like they would have still gone through with the elimination and they would have sent Kahana home. And so I think that Heidi, that to me, that proves that Heidi was the one that was going to go home this episode.
Oh, okay. Any other final thoughts?
No, I wish that the all-stars were actually all-stars. All right. And that's it.
Very good. Nathan?
I agree with you, Lori, about that little theory. It sort of felt a bit silly that we were going through all of these steps just for a non-elimination, which, I mean, I thought we were headed that way. So that makes sense to me. Thank you for presenting that theory. The all-stars, I sort of think that they're eventually going to go back to the All-Stars 7 format with stars and non-eliminations, and they just thought, we'll just do another season with everyone who would say yes, and then we'll get the cream of the crop next season. So, because it's not been that great. And I actually think this was the best episode of the season so far. And on the Fame Games front, all those looks were shit. I think the Fame Games is flopping because it's not been that fun or interesting to watch.
Well, I only watched this. This is the first Untucked that I've watched in a while, so I saw them for the first time. And I can only really speak for Naysha, maybe Monica, I'm sorry, maybe Beverly Hills as well. But like, Naysha 100% is pissed and like crying before she goes out. Like, look, you're like, Naysha does not, she looks like a little girl who's been in trouble and been told she has to go apologize. And so she's walking down this runway. She looks fucking pissed off. I felt like I couldn't really see her eyes, but they seemed kind of red. She does not look happy walking down this runway. She doesn't seem like she's trying to win anything. Another thing that I want to say is, look, I just want to acknowledge that people have been messaging about this on Discord and stuff like that. Yes, I saw Michelle's fake gasp. I don't know. They were throwing Ross under the bus here, but Ross actually looked like he acknowledged that he knew already. Like, kind of nodded like, yeah, this is sad, right? Michelle was like, what'd you say about trying you? Like, it was like the worst fake gasp ever, right? Also, there's a part where Michelle is talking to somebody. I don't know who she's talking about. And she tells them, you know, it was the same thing over and over again. And I was like, really, bitch? Oh, it's really bad to do the same thing over and over again, and we don't expect anything?
I can't tell you how much it makes my blood boil when Michelle Visage gives comedy advice.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be like watching me tell you how to eat healthy, you know, on the 800-pound gorilla diet. Yeah. You know, it's like, no, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
So I will say, too, that I was watching Untucked, and I get to be honest with you. I was wrong. Kahana proved me wrong because I was like, oh, I can't wait till I watch this Untucked. And Kahana's like giving the speech of like, I really want to be here. I have so much to show. And she didn't. To Kahana's credit, she tearfully says, I know you have to do what's right. And essentially concedes that she should go home. But here's the thing. It is even to her detriment. Kahana, this is not a rule that you have to vote by track record. And this is why you shouldn't have this self-imposed track record rule. You should keep it open to interpretation. You should be vague about it. Have it 1 week it's track record, 1 week it's not, depending on how you feel. Because then you're stuck in this bind when you are the one where the track record is not in your favor.
Yeah, you never tell, you never, even if you think it in your head, you never say, I should go home in a competition, because that's a death knell. Like, you should never do that. You always pretend like I should stay here because I'm, you know, hardworking or what, you know, whatever. You always want to sell yourself. And so the fact that she does that shows that I think she's letting the competition get to her.
But the other thing, too, is even you should know, you don't go in there and say what your voting strategy is or what everyone else should be doing, because at a certain point, it may and probably will, as the numbers narrow down, bite you in the ass. Especially when you do something by track record. You should keep it open to interpretation so that when you have to save yourself or argue your case, you have somewhere to run. And I didn't, by the way, no, you know, the Heidi and Closet drama overshadowed the irony that Kahana Montrese, in theory, was going to lose on track record to the person that she yelled at for not voting on track record. She snapped at Jessica Wilde for not voting on the track record. So if Kahana would have gone home, there would have been some dramatic irony in that. Nathan, go ahead.
Well, it's just interesting because I thought she actually has a better track record than Candy, than Alexis, than a lot of people. It's just her and Jessica Wilde seem to be on the same level because they're the only ones other than Jimbo that have won. Is that right?
Sounds right. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I think but if Heidi hadn't left, I think Heidi would, I don't think Jessica Wilde would have been in the bottom. I think it would have been between Heidi and Kahana.
They didn't really give Kahana says that, but I don't know what the evidence is for that.
Because Heidi was terrible. She was awful.
I know she was awful, but like Kahana wasn't much. I mean, everyone was so bad, you could have made an argument for anybody. And they could have made it be that way. So the final thing I want to talk about.
Hell yeah.
Is someone said to me, and I don't know if I've noticed this, but there's something a little subtle in here that does point this out. Someone said, it seems that that even RuPaul knows that this season is shit, right? And that the production knows it's shit. I don't really see that. Well, maybe you saw it in Snatch Game today. But before this episode, I hadn't really seen that. But I realized in watching the Snatch Game and how it was produced and how the previous episodes have been produced, is there is evidence that they know the season is shit. And I'll tell you what it is. Because they're not hiding that their thumb is on the scale. And what I mean is, when you think you have an inferior product, then you don't put a lot of work into it. Because why would you hide the seams if you know it's shit? So for instance, like let's say I thought this was a really shitty episode. I wouldn't spend hours editing it because I would be like, well, what's the fucking point? It's a shit episode. Why am I going to spend hours polishing a shit turd? And so I think because they're allowing us to see how the sausage is made and how the fact that we notice anyone, it doesn't take a genius to see how heavily production is pushing a narrative. It's because they need a narrative to push and they don't care enough because they know it's a shit season and everyone will forget about it in 2 months that they're like, we don't give a shit. We don't care. We're not going to even try and hide it. It's just going to be sloppy. We don't care. We don't care. We got to put something out. And I think that is the...
And doesn't it drop at like 3 a.m. or something for you guys?
Well, no. That, I mean, that's the way it always... It drops at midnight here because it comes out on Friday. But 3 a.m. on the East Coast.
I disagree. I think that this is how they've... I mean, I've watched, I want to say, like, you know, at least 5-6 seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race now. I feel like this is how they do it. They're producer heavy. And I think
they always have been. I think there's no season is not like that. What I'm saying is the fact that they're being so blatant about it, not trying to hide it or massage it, means that they don't care.
I don't but the thing what I'm trying to say is I think it's not necessarily that they're being blatant. I think that people are we're catching on to it more. We're becoming more adept to it and we're seeing it. I think this is how they've always done it and they haven't changed. And now it's like it's really, you know, come to the forefront. It's being highlighted.
I love how there've been like 25 seasons and Lori's like, I've seen 5 seasons bragging. Like a weird flex. There've been like 25 plus seasons of the season of the show. I've seen 5 of them.
Hey guys.
Hey Lori.
I've seen 5 or 6.
Who won season 15?
Powerhouse.
Just come up with a name. Come up with the name of anyone from season 15.
Somebody who, the drag queen who won season 15 of RuPaul's Drag Race is...
Is 15th the last season?
What, Lori, what's
who
going...
Who won season 15?
What season
did... What season Dear God, it's like, you know...
That's name good any volley. Winner That's good of volley. Any season.
What?
Sasha Colby?
Sasha Colby.
Wow. How'd you come up with that?
Just off the top of my head. Just off the top of my head. So it was painless.
Yeah.
It was painless and it was, you know, it was just like that. Joe, if you could edit it so that when I say Sasha
hear
Colby's
this later,
name,
to show you how much I love this show and that I'm not like RuPaul's Drag Race, this will be edited to be like a seamless episode, but it was a fucking shit show. And that's going to do it for this episode of RuPaul.
I would love for my whole thing to be cut out. I would love it for just you to you and Nathan. It's just you and Nathan having a conversation. No guest.
Yeah. That's going to do it for this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us next week and every week as we continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season... What is this? Oh, Season 8. So, for Lori Roggenkamp and myself...
And me?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Lori Roggenkamp, Nathan Brown, and myself.
Hi, Cheryl Ann. I'll be home soon, baby.
Thank you for listening to Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/afterthoughtmedia. You can also email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us over at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. You can also watch video versions of the show and more over at youtube.com/dragracerecap. This podcast was produced by Luke Stamen. Taylor the Latte Boy has another podcast. It's called Pod is My Co-Pilot, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Taylor on Instagram at PIMC Taylor. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram and TikTok at Joe Batance. Special thanks to these expensive tier Patreon supporters, Alex S., Anonymous, April Pacheco, Astute Girl, Brad Coley, Carter McKinnon, Corinna Williamson, Doofus Maximus, E. Smith, Elizabeth Timmer, Emma, Humble Pie, J. Thomas Blank, Jesse Harris, Kathy Zender, Lauren Eckert, Lucy Carrasco, Luke Stamen, Mike Yeager, Nikki Baker, Poppy Woods, Ricardo Herrera, Robert NYC, Robin Eggenberger, Runner Brandon, Sarah Yu, Tom Bombs, Travi Cosmos, Troy Anderson, Zach Nelson. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast.